Let's turn in the Word of God to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll be reading the whole chapter. Ephesians chapter 1. And beginning in verse 1 of Ephesians 1, these are God's words. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And those are God's words. Now coming to a new letter from Paul the Apostle to the church in Ephesus. The letter begins the normal way through verse 2 and giving greetings to the church. And then in the rest of the chapter, it seems like Paul is praying. And through verse 14, he prays with many thanksgivings to the Lord for his sovereign hand over all the saints in the church, all which should encourage us in our relationship to the Lord and our Father and his redeeming us through Christ's blood. And we could go on and on and many sermons, even when I preached through, just in these first 14 verses about our God and his sovereign will and how that's an encouragement to us, which we should be encouraged here in our relationship to the Lord and our Father in his redeeming us through Christ's blood. And so then to the end of the chapter through verse 23, he continues in prayer for them, for the church, and giving thanks to God for them, in which he concludes with the exaltation of Jesus Christ to the throne by the Father as our mediatorial King, so that Christ is the head, not only of the church, but He is ruler as the mediatorial King over all things for the sake of the church, for the good of the church. And in this, of course, we can greatly rejoice in our King who sits now on the throne on high over all things, sovereign, sovereignly ruling. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, how blessed we are to know You, to know just a little bit about You that we have written in the Word, which is truly just a little bit. For You are the infinite and eternal God. And Father, we're thankful that You teach us of which we believe are such depths, and yet even here, seeing and hearing of the exalted Christ, of how You are as God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, sovereignly working from all eternity for our souls, for our sakes, because You love us and You've always loved us for eternity. You have loved us, for You have foreknown us. And yet, as we think that is the depths and searching the depths, Father, we're just skimming the surface of Your love, of Your grace and mercy, of Your power and sovereign grace to us. And so we give You praise for who You are. We look forward to eternity when we gather together, and even when our souls come unto You and are made perfectly holy, we long and even delight to long now in looking forward to what awaits us in more revelations of who You are. And Father, we're thankful for our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're thankful for seeing so much of our union with Christ here in this first chapter and in all, especially all the writings of Paul through Your servant Paul, and how You teach us how everything that is true of our Savior Jesus Christ in His human nature, we in union with Him have as true of us. And we're thankful for this. Even in our being redeemed in the Beloved. We're thankful for this by the blood of Christ Your Son. And Father, we do pray, and we're thankful for Your blessing to us, how You have been seen fit to grow us in number, grow Your kingdom in number, Your visible kingdom. We pray it would be even unto the invisible church, and adding to Your elect, if that would be Your will, even the children in the womb. And so, Father, we pray that for those who have children in the womb, You would grant them strength of body, strength unto the children. Father, we ask above all things that You would turn their souls, even the children's souls, to You, even this very day, if it would be Your will, that they would hear, and like John in the womb, John the Baptist in the womb, leaping for joy in the presence of Christ Your Son. And we're thankful that even now we are present before Christ Your Son, in His presence spiritually. And so, Father, make all our children, make all of us to leap with joy of what a great privilege it is to worship You. We pray that all our hearts would be joined to Christ Your Son, that would be joined to You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, through Him. Father, we do pray also, continue to pray, that we would be a people who love each other, that You would grow us in unity in this body, in this congregation, as well as with the rest of the body of Your church throughout the world. I pray that You would grow us in unity. We've learned in Romans, we learn in Ephesians 4, in a few weeks we'll hear that we grow in unity according to the truth. according to your word. And so as you permit, and Father, we pray that you would permit, that you would grant us an understanding of the very basic things, a knowledge of the truth of baptism and ordinations and the resurrection and all these things you speak of in Hebrews 6, which we will understand and we will hold to if you permit. And so we pray that you would. But above all, we ask that you would even grant us an understanding of your sovereign grace, what we've heard today, your election, your sovereign mercy. And even as we'll hear this evening, for whom Christ died, not all peoples, but all the elect, and that all are freely offered the great promises in the covenant of grace through Christ alone. We pray that you would grow us in these things and you would grant us this knowledge and this unity, even in these things. And where there is unity, Father, we pray that you would cause us to maintain the peace we have and the unity that we do have, and that we would not turn unto sin and to cease loving our neighbor and especially our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we would seek to gossip about one another or slander one another, even as you warn us of doing such things and how great of division it causes in the church. We pray that there would be no divisions in the church. And we look forward to one day when that will be true. And Father, we pray also that you would watch over us and protect us from evil and our hearing. And so we pray that from this pulpit, there would come no false teaching, no false preaching or prophecy. We pray that your name would be declared according to your word, that the methods you've given, the means of grace you've given, would be proclaimed from this place and in all places where your people gather. And so make the men who pastor, minister, and elders who teach at times, make them to be faithful to your word, faithful to Jesus Christ, your Son, and to be zealous and leading, zealous for good works, and zealous against idolatry. And all these things we plead, praying for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We do not desire that you would be angry with the church, with us. And so if you are, we pray that you would turn us back unto you. Father, you must do this by your grace and your mercy, by pouring out your Spirit in revival in your church, and that you would turn us unto you from our sins. Father, how great a promise we have that you are faithful and just to forgive all those who come confessing our sins truly, turning, hating those sins, and turning unto you. And so, Lord, we pray that all of our sins, you would wash us and cleanse us of them as far as the east is from the west, to make us to be washing us as white as snow. Father, pray for those congregations that need ministers in our presbytery. We're thankful that there are churches which are proclaiming your word. We pray for men to fill the pulpits, all of them, in Colorado Springs, Washington, Iowa, San Antonio, and Houston. And now we pray that you would grant success to this new work in Little Rock. I pray that there would come from that success, that there would be many who would come and commit their way to becoming a church, and that the gospel would even there be taken forth and proclaimed faithfully. And so, Father, extend your kingdom here and also throughout the world. And pray for our nation, a nation that is so wicked. But Father, we can only confess that the church has not led very well our nation and before its citizens. and faithfulness unto you. We have rather become like the citizens instead of calling the citizens to become like Christ. And nor have we lived righteous lives like Christ oftentimes. And so, Father, what we see today is an effect of that in some parts. But we also know that the rulers of this nation are wicked in the most part. Or for the most part, we're thankful that there are some who love you. And yet, Father, even they, we ask that you would sanctify and reform them, that they would come and you would cause them to lead the way in causing this nation to covenant with Christ your Son, that the wicked rulers would be brought down. And if they're not brought down, Father, we pray that you would save their souls. We pray that you'd save all of their souls and turn them to Christ today. For we are called, you call us to pray for all types of people, even kings and rulers in authority. We pray for their souls. We pray that you would grant them your Spirit, that they would turn in faith to Christ Jesus, your Son, and they would covenant with him as rulers for this nation, and that the nation would follow for the sake that this nation would not be judged. But if it is not your will for that to be done at this time, we know that judgments will come. And so, Father, we plead that for the few righteous who remain, we pray that you would hold off those judgments at least from us. But if not from us only, if it would be your will from the whole nation, that there would be given more time for sinners to repent and hear the gospel and repent of their sins. In all these things, we plead for your mercy. And in all these things, we plead that your will would be done. For we do not believe that we are all-knowing and know your will perfectly. But we do know your word. And so be faithful to your promises we find in your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.